everybody, and welcome to a compassionate wild ride with Steve-O. This week, we're talking to Shane Dawson, who clearly has made some serious mistakes. And while we were on the way to meet Shane Dawson, we watched a video about all of the mistakes he's made, and a lot of it was news to us. By the time we got to him, we thought, wow, we wonder if this is even a good idea. But we decided to press forward with an open mind and a heart of compassion. And I got to say that we are glad we did that. It is what it is, and it is certainly extremely interesting, and I dare say extremely compassionate. So with that said, let's get into it. You mean we're ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Shane Dawson. Yeah, dude. So we met once before when we did your podcast for Full Screen. That was a long time ago, huh?
That was, how many cancellations ago was that? I think that was four and a half. There was a half there.
Man.
Yeah, that was, yeah.
We watched a video that kind of chronicled all of the cancellations.
Oh my God.
Yeah, are we going to show up on some sort of list having you on?
What was interesting was that, like, it was, you know, they said that in some cases people will, like, you know, build careers, become famous, and then do something like super offensive to people. But in this case of Shane Dawson, he, that is not what happened. That like, Shane Dawson was super offensive the whole time. Is actually, like, what he became famous for, kind of. So then it's like, it's just an interesting dynamic where, you know, you were just a wild, outrageously offensive guy and everything was great until people just got upset about it after the fact.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, no, it was a lot. I mean, listen, like, I'm not one of those people that's mad that I got canceled. I mean, maybe in the beginning I was, you know, yeah, because those videos were from a long time ago and a lot of this stuff was from a long time ago and I hadn't done anything like that in years. But I mean, I'm also kind of glad it all happened because it made me face a lot of things and realize, yeah, a lot of things.
Right. So what has been, what's been going on recently? You remember maybe when we got together, like, all those years ago, I think I called up my niece on the phone, or maybe we made a video and sent it to my niece, but my niece was just such a rabid Shane Dawson fan. And I texted her yesterday. I said, are you still, like, a fan of Shane Dawson? She said, yeah. Like, I said, oh, because we're going to record a podcast with him tomorrow. And she goes, WTF, oh my God, that's great. And she said, from what I gather, he's doing very well since he got in trouble with the popular media.
Popular media.
Yeah, yeah. Like, her take on it seems to be that your cancellation, so to speak, was with, like, the mainstream media, and that, you know, under, you know, in kind of your world, sort of under that radar, that everything's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was like when I started doing YouTube, the people that were watching were, you know, I think the types of people that were watching my stuff changed in, like, 2018, 2019. And I started doing things about makeup. And I think it opened up to, and not to make excuses, but I think I started doing YouTube videos for kind of, like, fucked up, weird, outcast people. And then the more mainstream YouTube got, and the more I was doing documentaries on, like, or documentaries, people don't like me when I call them that, but I was doing videos about people that were more mainstream. So it was a lot of, like,
yeah.
And then they were really surprised by all the old videos, obviously. So, yeah. I mean, sorry. I don't talk about this stuff really except for, like, therapy. So I don't know. don't know how to like not go into like that mode.
Yeah, that's cool. We're on therapy.
It's all good. Yeah, we're big fans of therapy.
I got a 5 o'clock today.
help me understand the makeup. It seems to me like kind of counterintuitive do you wear makeup regularly?
So, well, I did a series on a YouTuber who I was really fascinated by, who I'm friends with, but at the time I wasn't really friends with them. Jeffree Star, who's like, he's been around forever, MySpace days. So he had this big makeup business that I didn't understand at all. And I did a kind of a series with him on my channel and we were talking about it. And then he was like, well, why don't you do a collaboration with me with makeup? I'm like, well, I don't know anything about it. But I'm one of those people, I don't know if it's OCD or what it is, but when I have a new thing that I like want to do or whatever, I get obsessed with it. So I jumped in, I bought a bunch of fucking makeup. I learned how to do it. I got obsessed with it.
When you say learned how to do it, mm-hmm. like how to put it on?
Yeah. Like I watched every fucking makeup tutorial video in history. I just watched all of them. And then, but also like, I don't go out in the world and wear makeup. So
why do you want to do a makeup YouTube if you weren't wearing makeup or doing makeup before that? Like what made you want to do the makeup?
Well, I wanted to do the series because it was like a world I didn't understand. It was, you know, my friend who's making hundreds of millions of dollars doing this makeup stuff, and I had never seen any of it. So to be able to be a part of that and be in that was, I mean, crazy. But also I'm crazy. I just get so obsessed with things to a point where it's probably unhealthy. So I just got obsessed with it.
It makes sense to me. Jeffree Star, is known for wearing makeup. Wear makeup all the time. Wasn't there some crazy, when you say how many cancellations go, wasn't there something around the makeup with the Jeffree Star that was a big issue?
I don't remember.
I feel like the...
You asking me or if I Shane? Remember,
yeah. I remember that, wasn't there something about a warehouse being robbed or something? Was that it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's the thing with Jeffree, which is why he's such an amazing person to film. Like, it's always something. And that, at that time, that year, 2019, I would say is the best year ever, but also was the worst year ever because every day it was some shit's going down. Yeah, that day it was, oh no, I got canceled for something. And then that same day, I was supposed to propose to my then boyfriend. And then Jeffree called me and he's like, my warehouse has been robbed. And he had all these videos and pictures of these fucking guys scaling the walls and dropping in through the ceiling and just robbing all this makeup, which at the time I didn't understand. Now I get it, but that makeup was worth so much money because it wasn't released yet. So it was kind of getting leaked to other makeup companies so they could rip it off. I don't know. It's kind of confusing. Wow.
Jeffree lives in Wyoming, right?
Yeah. He
and all of his businesses are in Wyoming too.
I think so. I know he moved a lot of stuff out there.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much money there is in makeup.
It's a lot of money, but it's also it's scary. It's just things I guess it's Hollywood. Not that I've been, you've been in Hollywood, you get it. It's it's just so cutthroat and crazy and everything changes so fast. And if you're not trending anymore, if you're not this anymore, and then the up and the down and the enemies and it's like the mob. Like it was crazy.
In what sense? The makeup world or the YouTube world?
I think the YouTube world, the YouTube world's dramatic, I guess. But it's more low stakes. With the makeup world, it's people that... There was just always something going on with these big companies because they're making so much money. It was a lot. I'm happy that I love Jeffree so much. I'm happy I'm less around all the business stuff.
Yeah. You say that with, trending and not trending. It's crazy to have a career in YouTube for 15 years. Yeah. I mean, that's YouTube is so, by definition, just fickle, there's always something new, and it's pretty impressive that you've endured for as long as you have.
Yeah. No, I think about that a lot. I mean, I'm really grateful. Yeah. It's been interesting. I started YouTube when that it wasn't like a job or anything. People weren't making money from it. And I just was posting these weird videos like with my grandma and stuff. But I've always wanted to make stuff. I just didn't know YouTuber. I mean, it wasn't a thing. Sorry, I don't know if I'm making any sense. I don't know how to do this.
It makes perfect sense.
Didn't you have a podcast?
Yeah, but here's the problem is I haven't like, I used to have a podcast where I would interview people.
Yeah.
And then I stopped doing that. I did that for years. And then I have a podcast now where it's like me, my husband, my brother, our camera guy. And we sit and we just like talk about random stuff. And I kind of like lead the conversation and set up the like little segments.
You deflect the conversation away from all your shit.
Yeah, because I'm, you know.
Haven't you talked about this stuff before, though? Or just not publicly?
I don't think I've talked about it, like, yeah, not really. Like, I'll touch on things in podcasts a little bit, but then I kind of stop because I don't want to. It's hard. It's hard to talk about stuff because if you talk about it, people think you're trying to be a victim. If you say about certain things, they think you're manipulating or you're trying to change the narrative or all this shit. So I just don't talk about anything.
I mean, the fact that you're nervous about it is pretty authentic, I think. And like, it's better than having like, you know, being prepared. Because you could tell when you start to talk about it, you stop talking about it, which means like there's shame around it. And like the neurons are just looping back to the same spot. And I think talking about it helps kind of connect new like neural pathways to where you're not like, so, you know, flight or fright with it. And it just gets easier and easier. But if you're not comfortable talking about anything, you know, we don't have to talk about anything at all.
I think there's something to what you said, too, that, you know, when you say the fact that Shane's nervous about it, there's something authentic about that, you know, like if you're really comfortable, like, oh yeah, let's talk about, you know, like that, I have no problem there, then it feels like, you know, there's no gravity to it, you know, like
yeah, there's certainly trauma around it, because like when you're breathing out like that, like I'll do that in therapy, and like my therapist is like, dude, your brain doesn't know the difference between like, you know, you running your because like when that kind of stuff happens, like you're operating off your reptilian brain. Mm. And so it's like your body doesn't know the difference whether you're running from a dinosaur or like somebody's just asking you a question because like it hasn't been processed. So, I mean, I think it's good to talk about it. And I mean, I think the worst has already happened.
Right.
And nobody's going to find out anything. You haven't lied about anything. So like, you know, saying shit, I think is okay. But I think the fact that you are nervous about it is a good thing because it's authentic.
Well, thank you. I mean, that exactly what you said. Sorry, I've like caught mouth. Exactly what you said is what my therapist said too, which is like, yeah, I got into a place where I was in fight or flight mode 24 hours a day. Where like, I mean, not as much anymore. I don't want to seem like I'm like fucking... Like,
well,
I'm
you're showing
good.
Up to do a podcast, right. Like, that's not yours. So that's right. Good.
But, you know, like, the last 2 years after I got canceled, and I was like, I'm done. Not making any videos ever again. I'm done. I went through, you know, not to get too, you know, whatever, but it was really bad. And then we moved. We moved to Colorado. That's where my husband's family is, and I'm really close to them. And I just wanted to get away for a bit. And also we found this house out there that was unexpected. So we moved out there and I had the best year of my whole life. Like 2020 was really bad. And 2021 was like, I wasn't on my phone. I wasn't on the internet. And it was, yeah, it was the best year ever. And then around the end of 2021, I started thinking like, I do want to make stuff again. And like you said, it's like, I'm obviously ashamed of a lot of the old videos and the old sketches and stuff, but like you said, it's not like a secret thing. I didn't hurt anyone. I mean, I guess I hurt feelings, but I didn't physically hurt anyone. I didn't rape anyone. I didn't do anything to where I should be in hiding. It took me a long time to get to that place to believe that, but you know, that I shouldn't be in hiding or something. But
when we were coming out here and you're like, okay, I'm doing a podcast, where were you like, oh fuck, I don't want them to ask me this.
Oh, I mean,
or what was the shame or fear there about doing a podcast? Like, because I know there was maybe something specific that you thought about that you didn't want to go near.
I mean, it sounds whatever, but I my biggest fear and why I say no to a lot of stuff like this, not that I'm getting asked a lot, but I say no a lot because I know the reaction is going to be possibly negative for you guys. So for me, I'm like, okay, I love you. I'm so grateful that you came on my show all those years ago. Like, that was fucking insane. Like, I still have people asking me about that. My brother's obsessed with you. So I wanted to say yes, but I know you're going to get shit and you're going to get comments. People are going to be like, can't believe you had him on and all this stuff. And then I'm not going to read it, but I don't want that to like fuck up your shit. And I don't want you to regret it. And yeah. So it's like a lot of like feeling like kind of the way I put it is I feel like I'm cancer in a way where I'm like this thing where if people are around me now, people, they can get canceled or, and that's probably ended. That was more probably a couple years ago, but it does feel like that, you know, like, oh, I'm this fucked up thing. And if you're near me, everybody's mad at you now. So I just kind of seclude.
Well, that's thoughtful and you know, we appreciate that. I think that our whole kind of vibe is, it is what it is, you know? I think that the idea of there being negative comments, there's going to be negative comments no matter what you do. And I'm personally kind of interested in just the story of, you know, what happens after all that.
Right.
You know? Like, I think that a lot of people in the world would take the position that cancel culture went too far and that it's, you know, enough. And I think that having really, really taken the brunt of it and, you know, showing up to speak up for yourself after the fact, that there's some courage in that. And, anybody who wants to, you know, kick you while you're down and you know, pile on to a bunch of traumatic stuff, like maybe what we're doing here is an exercise in shining a light on that and showing it to be unnecessary.
Yeah, I mean, thank you for. Sorry, I don't. I promise I'm not like this all the time.
Like, no, it's okay. I mean, it's just honestly, it's better that you're not like, you know,
right,
cavalier,
fucking.
Yeah. I know.
Hi,
hey guys,
back. Like, I mean, this is like right, what, right. Like, you know,
right. I mean, I think I have gotten past it. Like, I mean, weirdly enough, so I hadn't done therapy in a few years, and I started back up again right at the beginning of COVID, and I told the therapist, I was like, you know, I was trying to explain to her my job and explain to her like my issues and my triggers. Cause at that time, every day my routine would be, I would get up, I would go on Twitter and I would pray to God that I wasn't trending for something bad because it was happening a lot my whole career. So, you know, and if I wasn't trending, it was a good day, but then every like 5 hours I would have to check. And sometimes it would be there and it would be like, oh, it's an old joke from a video. And then I would go through this whole thing where it's like, I can't explain it, but it feels like your stomach is fucking eating itself and you feel like you're dying and you fight or flight and all that shit.
It's called anxiety.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So I would go through that a lot and I was trying to explain it to her. And then literally like 2 months later, I got canceled. And I would say it was bad. Like it was probably the worst cancel situation I've seen. And it was so intense. And it like fucked up my family and like my friends and it was really bad. And, but luckily I was in therapy. So she was guiding me through the whole thing. And, now it's been like 2.5 years and I'm so good. So I don't want you to think I'm like,
is it true that at the point when it really kind of took a left turn that your videos were getting like 40 million views per video? Mm-hmm. What can I say? Numbers matter. And if you can put together an audience online of any size, then you're out of your mind if you're not selling products to that audience. Like me, I sell Stevo's hot sauce for your butthole, and I sell it pretty well. How? With ShipStation. Why? Because ShipStation takes all of the different platforms you can sell on, Amazon, Etsy, your own website, whatever it is, brings them all into one easy-to-use interface and gives you the best shipping rates, which are normally reserved for Fortune 500 companies. That's because into that interface, they bring all of the different shippers, United States Post Office, UPS, FedEx, and they give you the best rates. When you get an order online, boom, we just have our label print out, we put it in the box, slap on the label, and it's out the door. It saves money, it makes everything unbelievably easy, and like I said, we sell this hot sauce on Amazon. We sell it at stevo.com, and without ShipStation, we couldn't sell any of it. I'm telling you, this stuff makes us money because of ShipStation. And if you go to ShipStation.com and use the promo code Stevo, you're going to find out exactly what I'm talking about and not even pay anything for 60 days. That's a 2-month free trial with all of the bells and whistles that ShipStation provides, and it's totally risk-free. So one more time, go to ShipStation.com and use the promo code Stevo and make ship happen. Yeah, dude. Let's get back to it.
Which isn't good. Like, listen, I'm so grateful for that, and like, that's awesome. But I was never enjoying it. Like, and I know that sounds like I'm bullshitting, but I really wasn't, because I
doing what, the videos or the amount of views you're
the
getting?
Views or like the because my,
the annoying money that was. Yeah.
I mean, listen, you would think my CPMs on YouTube have always been fucked. So, but either way, whatever. I'm grateful for it, but no, I wasn't enjoying it because it was always, what's next? What do I do? What right. if the next one doesn't do well? And I would freak out about it and right. I'd be like, well, that's not good enough. And I would film all these videos and never post them because I'm just like, well, it's not going to get 40 million views. People are going to think it sucks. What do I do? And it was getting so bad to where my relationship was fucked up. Like my eating issues were fucked up. I was just in the worst headspace, but I was getting all these views. So it was the weirdest, like, you know, and then I got canceled. Thank God, because I figured my shit out. And, you know,
I seem to recall that, you know, when we got together for your podcast years ago, that you had like a crazy upload schedule, that you would put up like 3 videos every week.
Yeah.
And I remember just thinking, how do you come up with that much content? You know, and I think the answer was that you would have regular creative meetings to just determine what are the videos going to be, and then you just make them.
I wish. Oh. No. That's a good idea. I've tried to find people in the past that I could do that with, like come up with, you know, things like that. But no, that was mostly just like back when I was doing 5 videos a week. That was when I was just like, okay, kind of on autopilot. Like, okay, these are the things I enjoy doing. I'm just going to make videos about them. I'm going to shoot them all in a day. I'm going to, you know, lose my mind over that. That was a bad time period for me, just because I really was not enjoying it, like, at all. Like, I was like, okay, I have to keep going, because if I stop, people are mad at me because they're like, why aren't you posting today? What happened to the video? So I was just on autopilot doing it. And then I got into a pretty serious relationship, and I started posting less, and I started, like, you know.
When all the kind of world's crumbling around you, and, you know, you're going from 40 million views on a video, and then all of a sudden now you're not posting, or even before that, were you thinking about, like, just taking the money that you had earned in your career and putting it to work for you in other ways, so that you don't have to be in the spotlight anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I don't have, this is such a weird thing to talk about, but I don't want people to think I'm, I don't know, whatever. It doesn't matter. I don't have as much money as I think people think I do, because the makeup thing, people thought I made like $20 million and I did not. And I've never killed it on YouTube, like financially, just because my videos have been controversial. So it's not like I had enough money where I could just retire or something. So, but I did know, I was like, okay, right before I got canceled, I was really depressed. I didn't know what I was going to make next. I felt uninspired. I felt like, okay, I already did everything on YouTube I wanted to do. I want to make a movie, but nobody's giving me the money to make a movie. So I was going to fund my own movie, which would have cleaned me out. But I was like, you know, but it's going to be worth it because I'm crazy. I'm like, it's going to be worth it and blah, blah, blah. And then I got canceled and I didn't do it. Thank God. That would have been the stupidest decision in the world. But so, yeah. Sorry, I forgot your question. Yeah.
Well, it's just like, you know, kind of I've viewed it as a way of getting out of the attention whore business.
Yes, yes.
You know, like I'm an attention whore. And like for me, the ultimate dream, the ultimate goal is to have an out. If it's some like some business thing that I can get going. Like,
wait, you can see yourself in a situation where you're out of the camera's eye?
I mean, like I was
like, no, never.
I'd like to get in front of a camera because it's my choice to, okay, not right. Because like, you know, for me, the most upsetting, like traumatizing, depressing stuff is, documentaries/biopics about like Hollywood personalities, movie stars, entertainers who, like in the final stages of their life were dead broke and like doing everything they could to milk their former self and their form, you know, like.
Yeah, I just saw like, Mike Tyson did Hangover 2 just to fuel his cocaine habit because he didn't have any more money. Wow. That could be wrong, but like. He was like, dude, these guys were like, what the fuck is this guy doing on here? And he's like, I just had to get some money for my cocaine.
I can't even imagine he got that much money for that. But like people had that come to mind. There's a movie called Stan and Ollie, and it's the story of Laurel and Hardy. And here these guys were in their like 60s and 70s, like going on tour, like beating themselves up, doing all this slapstick
like
comedy. Judy Garland, perfect example. Buster Keaton. You know, Buster Keaton, the biggest legend ever, the most iconic, like, old-school Hollywood guy. And in his late years, he was just down and out. And, like, I don't want to be, like, dead broke in the later stages of my life. I don't want to be having to beat myself up, like, for money. I don't want to just be in that undignified situation. So I'm always trying to think about a way to get out.
Do you have an end number in mind of where you can retire? You don't have to say it, but, like, is there a number?
I do not.
No. Well, let's start there, and we can work backwards.
Yeah, that's what Rosie O'Donnell did. Sorry, is that
what she had a goal?
Yeah, so she's like one of my favorite talk show hosts when I was little, and she had her talk show, and it only went for like 4 or 5 years, and she canceled it, and they were like, "Why you were making all this money?" And she's like, "I hit $100 million in my bank account," and I was like, "Fuck it, I'm out." Yeah. And she's been out since. I mean, she went back for a few things, but yeah, like $100 million in her mind was like the number, and I was like, "Damn." That is so crazy. It's so crazy to think about that much money, but also to think about like, it was only 4 years. She could have kept going for another 15 years and she would have $1 billion, but she didn't care.
Like, yeah. Whoa.
Yeah. You're going to hate me for doing this, but I'm going to go deep.
Okay.
You brought up the fact that like, you didn't want to come on people's podcasts because you felt like a cancer. Mm-hmm. But did you always feel like a cancer? Like, was that's not the first time that you felt coming on? Because the reason I say that is because, you know, your whole idea of like making videos would be for shock value.
Right.
And I would think that like to have that kind of a thought system, you kind of had like a lot of resentment in you before you started making videos and you found out like that, you know, you can make videos and then you became shocking. And maybe in your head you were like fuck it, I fuck everybody. I feel like a cancer anyway in life, so like I'm just gonna go. Like you felt justified by going that hard. Is that some level of accuracy to it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it sounds weird, but I am not like as a human, as a person, I'm not like a gross person. I'm not like a shocking person in my real life. I'm not making crazy gross jokes. I've never been that. I've always been really quiet. So with the videos, I mean, I grew up watching, you know, Scary Movie and, you know, Chappelle and all those things. So that was kind of how what I liked formed. And I love playing characters and wearing wigs and doing all these things. And I do love getting a reaction. Like I would make these videos and I would show my mom, who's like really religious Christian. And my favorite part of making the videos would be watching my mom's reactions, because it was so like, I love when people scream because they're laughing, or they scream because they're shocked. It's just like, oh my God. And so I was doing that, and I did it in high school. Like, I would do these video projects in high school, and the teachers would freak out because they were like, I can't believe he did this. Like, what the fuck? And that was kind of, you know, the beginning of that. So yeah, but it was weird because then when I'm not in these videos, I'm not that at all. So that was kind of weird because people thought, oh.
But why go that route in your videos? Like, shock value. Like,
I think because I just love it.
Doing things because you love them makes all the sense in the world. Like the way I am with Lux, you know? I do her because I love her. And I love using Blue Chew tablets because they just make it more fun. Now, when you think of a tablet that has the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, there is maybe a thought of like, wow, like, do I need that? And, you know, the way I answer that is it going to make my life more fun? And the answer is yes, it does. Blue Chew makes my relationship with my girl more fun. And if there's a chance that it could make your relations more fun, then why wouldn't you be open-minded to that? And if you are open-minded to that, then why wouldn't you get an entire month's supply of Blue Chew tablets completely for free and only pay $5 for shipping? I mean, it's pretty simple stuff to me. And if you go to bluechew.com and use the promo code Stevo, take a couple minutes to consult with the medical provider online, get your prescription locked in. And again, that's an entire month's supply of Blue Chew tablets completely for free. All you pay is $5 for shipping. So let's ask that question one more time. Might this make my relations more fun? And I'm telling you, the answer is yes. So go to bluechew.com and use the promo code Stevo. Yeah, dude. Let's get back to it.
People were really liking the videos, and I was, you know, being asked to go to YouTube things, and I had YouTube friends, but there were a few people that were mad and were calling it out, and I was, you know, being like, no, well, people think it's funny, and I'm not trying to be offensive, so it's fine, which is stupid. I should have listened to those people, but yeah, it wasn't like, I never wanted to be that, right? Like, I never wanted to be the person that's making all this horrible shit. Like, that was not what I wanted to do. Yeah. Like, I wanted to, like, even some of these videos that were so offensive that when you look back, they're like the most offensive ones. The moral of the video would be about suicide or, you know, anti-bullying, or would be about eating disorders or something I dealt with. And I would wrap that into the video. So, which doesn't make sense. When you watch it, it's like, why is he doing all this horrible shit? But then at the end, he's trying to do something meaningful. And I don't know. I honestly don't know why I was doing that. Like,
Do you ever have any cool stories of like people you're actually like helping people out with the mental health and them like calling and getting saved and all that?
Oh yeah. I mean, I think because I was so open about my issues from when I started, you know, doing stuff on the internet, and because I've done so many videos about suicide, about cutting or eating disorder, because I've done so much of that over the years, I think a lot of people did get something out of that. And I've talked to a lot of people that have, and you know, but yeah, I don't know.
What is like cutting? Like, why do people cut? Is it because they don't feel, they feel dead inside and they want to like feel alive? Is that the action of the cutting? Because I know that's something.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's different for everyone. I think it's kind of like, so I never cut, but I was, this is kind of gross to talk about, but I had a lot of things I did, but one of them was I would like pick my skin,
yeah,
which is stupid. You should not do that, but I kind of still do it a little bit. And I do it because I'm anxious or thinking about something or kind of, and it's just something I do when I'm working through something or not dealing with something. And I think cutting for some people is kind of like, well, I don't want to think about all these things and I don't want to whatever. So I'm going to put all my pain into one place and I can only focus on the pain.
I feel like it's the same with like drugs and alcohol.
Yeah.
You know, having to just numb what you're going through. you know.
But you don't do drugs or alcohol?
No, I used to like drinking, but now I can't. My stomach hurts every time.
Really?
So now I can't. I mean, my issues are like food.
Yeah, me too.
Same.
Fucking
right.
Yeah, I'm not picking on you. I'm just fascinated, you know, with different like patterns and certain things, and I've always been interested in that. I knew a pretty girl who picked her skin a lot, and when she told me that, I'm like, oh yeah, that's why she always wears long sleeves, you know. And it's like, I don't know. It's just, I found it fascinating. But yeah, it's all the same facet of covering up something at the root cause.
Yeah, Jeff. So not to keep bringing him up, but Jeffrey, one of the first things I found out about him when I was doing that series on him was he's full body tattoos, right? Like full body, like that's his thing. And then he showed me and he was explaining that he started getting tattoos to cover up his cut scars. And I was like, what? And then I look closer and his entire like body is covered in scars. I was just like, whoa. Like, so yeah, I've talked to him about it. He's kind of explained. So my, you know, knowledge on cutting and why people do and stuff is kind of based on what he's told me. But yeah, people, I don't know. Everybody has their thing and, you know, yeah, life sucks a lot, but no, it's also great. It's also great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. The, I saw a video on my YouTube feed the other day. It said, why you should stop worrying or something like, this will make you stop worrying. Mm. I thought, okay, that's interesting. I clicked on it and it said like, you know, hundreds of billions of years ago, there was nothing. And, you know, like, it was just kind of putting into perspective, like, how minute. And, you know, like, we're on a speck of dust. And, you know, like, and after watching it, I really did feel a lot more calm and that it quelled my worrying. And I thought, you know what? I should just watch stuff like this all the time. Like, let me get to populate my feed with videos about why, like, ain't no thing.
Yeah. Yeah, they asked if do you think in the future or the past?
Probably I'm more of a future tripper.
Future, so if you think in the future, you're more anxious. If you think in the past, you're more depressed.
Whoa.
Oh, 100%.
But the right answer is if you ask like somebody like, you know, do you think in the past or the future? And you just say, I think in the present.
Do you believe them? I don't believe those
people. Well, what do you think about? Do you think about the past?
The past.
Are you depressed?
Yes, you're right. That's so crazy. I never thought about that.
And if you think in the future, you're kind of just future tripping, you're nervous, you're anxious.
I'm anxious too.
I'm 100% future tripper.
Mm. Yeah, super, well, of course, anxious. Me too. I mean, I think the right, but everybody's like, you know, just think in the presence and mindfulness, but nobody does that. I mean, it's hard to, you know, that's why they have the rubber bands where they snap out or,
yeah.
I don't know, maybe they cut because they want to live in the present. But yeah, it's just, I mean, mental health is a whole other fucking beast. I read this book back in 2001. It was called like The Feeling Good Handbook by some fucking doctor. But it was the number one book recommended to people in between therapy. And like, he would just go into these people's lives. Like this one lady would wash her hands 1,000 times a day because she thought the dirt on her hands would give her kids leukemia. So she was just constantly washing her hands. Mm. And he had thousands and thousands of case studies by this where he would read you off the transcripts in the therapy. And he'd be like, okay, well, why do you think that the dirt on your hands are going to give your kids leukemia? And she's like, well, because if I kill them, like, then I'll be all alone. He's like, okay, well, what happens if you're all alone? And then he just keeps breaking it down. And, you know, and then they go, well, when I was younger, I was alone because my parents divorced. And he's like, okay, why was that so bad? And it's like, well, because it was my fault that my parents divorced. And so like once he made her flip her script on like, it wasn't her fault that her parents divorced, she stopped washing her hands so much. Mm. But he had like hundreds of cases like this where he would just go through it and it's all just a stem of fucking whatever, you know?
Mm. Wow.
Yeah. It sucks to squander the moments that could be wonderful with worry about things that have not even happened.
And 99% of them never do. You know?
It's so true.
For sure.
Yeah.
I mean, I think in the final analysis, my life will have been squandered over worry about, you know.
Just got to keep playing that video.
And I know. and I look at, like, our work schedule. You know, we've just been gone in Australia and New Zealand for a month and a week. And it was, like, a pretty miserable existence, you know. If
I got
honest.
There like 10 days before you guys, so I was just fucking deep in the cut.
It was gnarly. And you know, and I just have this default setting where it's like, everything is not going to be okay. I have to work like to try to make it so that everything's going to be okay, because it's not going to be okay. Mm. I got to earn. And like my quality of life, like, is not important. What's important is later trying to make it so everything's going to be okay. And I'm throwing my present quality of life out the window to try to secure okayness in the future. And I'm still convinced that everything's not going to be okay.
Yeah, well, you don't even have an end number in mind that you're working towards. You're just digging with no fucking, how many feet do you want to go down? I don't know. You're just digging.
I love Scott Randolph, but did he just ask me how much digging I want to do for retirement? Seems silly, because digging to me is something that you do to get into debt and to get into a bowl of my favorite cereal from Magic Spoon. I dig into that stuff like crazy because it's delicious, man. It's like a guilty pleasure that you're not guilty about at all. It's like when I ate cereal as a little kid, that awful sugary stuff that was terrible for me. And this stuff is every bit as delicious, but it's got like 13 to 14 grams of protein per serving, like net 4 to 5 grams of carbs per serving, which is negligible. It's got 0 grams of sugar per serving. I mean, hey, if you're looking at me these days, you're seeing that I am fitter and thinner than I am at other times. And I attribute this to my avoiding sugar. And man, am I successful with that with Magic Spoon. MagicSpoon.com/Stevo, and use the promo code Stevo to get $5 off your order. I'm telling you, I love this stuff. I eat it all the time, and I'm looking and feeling better because of it. So one more time, go to MagicSpoon.com/Stevo and use the promo code Stevo. You'll be glad you did. Now let's get back to it.
Nonstop.
It'd probably become a little bit easier to, like, you know, it's more palpable if you have a number in mind. Then you're like, okay, well, let's start there.
Right.
Work backwards, but.
But even if you hit that number, I feel like you would still.
Well, that's the crazy part.
Even if Benny gets a blue check mark, he's still going to be fucking. Will you tell him that a blue check mark isn't that big of a deal on Instagram?
Oh, you want a blue check?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Isn't it not real anymore? Like, don't you
have to? Yeah, I heard you can pay for it now.
And now you can pay for
which
it.
Which is lame.
Yeah. Sorry, I just had a crazy brain fart.
What do you have any goals? I mean, what's going on? Like, what do you want to do out of life now? Or, like, any new perspective shift? Or, like, is there a new Shane Dawson? Like, what's changed? What do you want to do with your life? Do you have any purpose?
Yeah, I mean, my life, we're having a baby, hopefully 2 or 3. So we're doing that. And I mean, the surrogate is being implanted in a few weeks. So that's happening, which I'm so excited about.
How much legal red tape is there before that? Because isn't it like a...
And the prices? That's the darkest part, is pressing purchase on a mother. Like, it's like...
What, on a surrogate?
Well, so that's the other thing I didn't know. So egg donors... This might be boring. Sorry, guys. Egg donors is different. So, like, the egg donor is who is the mother, and then they put your sperm in the egg, and then they put it in a surrogate who has no, like...
genetic.
Right.
Yeah.
Whose sperm did they put in there? You or your husband?
So we did both of our sperm.
Just do a double batch?
And then you just mixed it together?
They cook it all up. And, well, that's the other thing, too, because I'm like, well, would I mean, I know what I look like as a girl. It's not great. But I'm like, but do I want, never mind. I was going to say something really dark. But yes, so it is.
Wow, you're showing progress here.
Thank you. Well, I'm thinking about my future kid watching this. You know what I mean?
There you go.
That changes everything. Like, if I would have known I was going to have kids one day that would have the internet, that everything stays there forever, and then they can go and be like, Daddy, what is this? I never would have done any of it. I mean, I don't regret it. I think everything happens for a reason. But so, yes, we're cooking them up.
What do you mean by cooking them up?
I was going in along with his mixing thing, but right. You know, like, so yeah, we have 12 potential children, I believe 12, 6 of mine, 6 of his. Or do we have 24?
Sperm.
I don't remember, yes.
Oh, so you're saying there's 12 eggs.
Yeah.
And they can keep an egg viable, like in a freezer?
Well, that's the other thing. So the embryos, so the number kind of keeps going down. It's like, oh, we got 30 whatever eggs. Okay, only this many survived. Okay, only this many sperms attached. So now we're left with 12, six boys, six girls, six of mine, six of his.
And they're embryos.
And they're frozen. So they're like 2 weeks old each, which I didn't know.
2 week old, like, human babies?
Right. Well, yeah. And now I'm thinking, like, I got to bring them all. Because, like, what, there's just going to be some frozen forever that are 2 weeks old. Like, they're alive in my head. I don't know. Maybe that's...
Han Solo.
So, what, you want to have all 12?
No, I don't know.
At the same time?
No, well, no.
Like fucking Octomom? Is that the Octomom?
That's the new Shane. No.
That's your new show.
It's a reality show, man. That would explode.
Yikes.
Bad track records for those things.
Yeah, no. So, I mean, I think we want to have 3 kids, but now that we have 12, I don't know what to do. We should start... giving them to people? I don't know. Is that, that's bad. I can't do that.
Is that an auction button on your website?
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. So there's that. I mean, but as far as like career stuff, I just really want to make a horror movie. That's kind of my, I have 2 scripts written and one of them kind of fell through in the last couple months. So now I'm kind of rerouting and trying to get this one made. But yeah, that's kind of my goal. But that's going to, I mean.
I'm not quite satisfied yet with the surrogate. Like okay. And I'm just interested. It's very common, I think, that a surrogate mother will, you know, after growing this baby inside of them, have mm-hmm. some attachment, and then, like, get cold feet or whatever, and say, "I don't want to give up the baby. It's my baby." I wasn't aware of the baby inside them not being genetically theirs. That's right. A different wrinkle. But presumably they still have some kind of attachment, mm-hmm. and there's all kinds of legal paperwork, like, so what's the legal process like in establishing the agreement with the surrogate, and what's the interpersonal do you develop – a right. relationship with them before picking them.
Right. Yeah, it was wild. We started like a year and a half ago. Actually, no, I think just a year ago. And so first we had to pick the egg donor. And we instantly, both of us knew. We didn't tell each other, but we knew the donor. And then I said it and he said it. And we were like, oh my God, that's the one. So we picked her.
Why? What about her?
I don't know. It was just like a weird, like, God...
My sister had a sperm donor. She was artificially inseminated. Mm. My niece, who's such a fan of yours. And what struck me about the process was that by the time you make it through all of the screening, right. they've determined that there is no, no medical problems to worry about, like going through the whole family tree. Everybody in the family tree is all healthy into their like 80s. Like they're all like college educated. Like there's just, it's just crazy. It's almost like the Olympics of being an impressive person that you have to by the time you become a donor, like you're just kind of documented as being like just the picture of health and accomplishment. Mm. And so that is pretty impressive.
Well, the thing with sperm donors too, because my therapist, we were talking about it, and she had used sperm donor in the past, and she was like, you know, what's crazy is like, you know, when you're picking the sperm donor, there's like levels, like financial levels, like, okay, if you pay an extra $100, you can get a voice note from them so you can hear their voice. If you pay another $100, they'll draw you a picture. I'm like, this is the most
GoFundMe.
It's like OnlyFans. Wow. Yeah, it's crazy. I'm like, what the fuck is this? So it's bizarre. I mean, the whole process is extremely depressing and amazing. And it took a lot of like mental gymnastics to figure out how to not get depressed about it. But after meeting both of them, and really,
the egg donor and the surrogate.
Yeah. And getting, you know, their stories and why they're doing this, because that was my fear. I'm like, well, what if they, how could they have the baby and not want to keep it? How is that possible?
Right.
But the girl who's donating the eggs, she was born through egg donors because her parents use them. Mm. So she had like a connection to that. She's done it once before. And her whole thing was, she was like, you know, I would love to be in some kind of, you know, I'd like to be updated or be, you know, to, I don't want it to be a thing where I give my eggs and I don't know anything after that. And I was like, great, because I wanted to be able to tell our kids.
Sounds like entanglements. Sounds like strings attached. You got to deal with this person.
I wanted that, though, because I want to be able to tell my kids one day. Because, you know, listen, I'm realistic about it, too. And some people get mad when I say this. And by some people, I mean people in my family. But I'm like, I want to be honest with my kid. I know they're going to see a commercial where there's a mommy. And they're going to be like, why don't I have a mommy? And they're going to have some issues with that. They're going to be sad about that. And I want to be able to explain it to them. And also, you know, when they're ready, show them a picture. Or, you know, I don't want it to be this weird fucked up secret that fucks them up.
That sounds like egg donor is way different than sperm donor. Because in the case of the sperm donor, it's... You can find out their whole family tree's medical history, their whole family tree's education history, like everything about them. But you cannot, like legally, you cannot get their name. Oh. Or, you know, like it's sort of a rite of passage for adopted kids to go and track down their biological parents. Mm. You know, like you hear about it a lot and it's like a, you know, it's a thing. But in the case of someone who was artificially inseminated with this donor sperm, it is 0.0. Mm. There is no rite of passage for my niece to go and find her biological father because it is like legally precluded. Mm. You definitely cannot get a picture of the person.
Well, I also, now that I'm thinking about it, I really hope I don't want to offend anybody that, you know, I don't want it to seem like if you don't know who your father is or your mom,
yeah, I mean, hey, dude.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it like
don't,
that.
Don't trip, because I think that's just natural, you know, human consideration.
Right. Yeah, I mean, but it is. Yeah, I mean, with the surrogate too. So she's done this before, and I asked her like, how do you? Because she has kids of her own. I'm like, how do you explain this to your kid that you have other babies that they don't. You know, whatever. And so she had like a word for it, like suro sister. So like, you know, she's very open with her daughter. And I just want it to be open. I don't want it to be weird or like secretive, just because my childhood had a lot of some secretive weird shit. And, you know, I think that is in turn what made me, you know, really delve into food and fucked up a lot of things for me. Once again, everything happens for a reason, so I'm fine with it. But, you know, I just want to, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure it out.
What's your food of choice?
Okay, let me think. Well, I mean, nachos. I guess I didn't have to think. Anything Mexican food. Mexican burrito. Oh, my God.
Carbs.
Yeah.
I'm a sugar guy.
Mm. I'm a carbs guy.
Really? Sugar for me,
yeah.
Too.
I guess I'm both. I mean, I like Mexican food, but I also like, yeah, I like desserts. I mean, that, yeah, I don't know when I'll ever figure that out. Like,
it's a hard one because you have to eat.
You have to, and because I was like 400 pounds in high school, and then wow. I lost like 200 pounds when I was 18 through very unhealthy ways. And I kept it off for a long time, but then it's like when you fuck up your metabolism that much, you kind of have to starve yourself to stay thin. And that's when I started YouTube. And then, you know, so I've just gone up and down and up and down. And now I don't weigh myself. So I don't even know what I am anymore, but I thought I'd be done with this by now.
Your unhealthy ways were laxatives?
No, I mean,
because I took a laxative when I was talking to our buddy Bill, and I was like, dude, like he asked me that question, and he's like, are you ever doing laxative? I was like, yeah, like, you know, once in a while when I get back from a trip or something. He's like, dude, be careful, because a lot of people fucking have laxative addictions. I'm like, that's a thing. He's like, oh my God. He's like, dude, he's like, I couldn't go anywhere without fucking laxatives. He's like, I would just do laxatives every day because you can lose weight and you can eat whatever you want and shit it out.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as like being a
binging and purging.
Purging, yeah.
Yeah. That's what I did.
Did that fuck up your esophagus at all?
So I had like two situations where blood came out, and I was like, oh my God. Because that's the biggest fear with bulimia, is that at any point your esophagus can explode and you'll die. Like that's.
Well,
that's
you also have a heart attack.
Heart attack?
From throwing up?
It makes you anemic, is that right? Mm-hmm. And then the lack of iron in your blood will lead to a heart attack.
Yeah.
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 And, like, at a young-ass age.
But you had issues with that too, right? From throwing up or?
I don't know what the cause of my esophageal issues was. Acid reflux, barfing, drugs. Like, I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
Wow. So hope nobody's eating. Sorry to, I just brought
up. No, like, I mean, we all have fucking issues. You just never know, you know?
Right, right.
We all look different, but we have the same issues.
Oh, yeah. Especially like, the food stuff is, I'm almost 35. I was like, how, in my head when I was little, I was like, oh, by the time I'm in my 30s, I'm going to be fine. Like, I'm not going to have any problems. And every year it does get a little easier because I care a little less what I look like. But it still does come down to like, you know, in my head, I'm 400 pounds. I feel even like, to be honest, so I would say 50% nervous about doing this because I didn't want to be a bad guest because I didn't want to be afraid to answer stuff and be weird. My other 50% was like, oh, I feel fat, especially right now. I'm like, oh, I feel fat. So I'm going to look fat. Like, oh my God, whatever. So it's like, yeah, it's still something that's like.
Dude, I go through the same shit every day.
I'm fucking stoked it's cold outside. I'm wearing a fucking jacket, dude.
That's what pulled up and I ran outside and I was sweating and I had my jacket on and I looked in here and I'm like, oh, it could get hot in there and I'm wearing a jacket, but like there's no other fucking option. Like, I'm wearing this fucking jacket.
You know somebody has body dysmorphia when they're wearing hoodies in the summer.
Summer, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's like in Australia, I fucking did it. It was fucking 107.
Yeah, and then you just have to lie to people and be like, no, I'm like weird. I run cold. Fine like this. They're like, you're sweating. I'm like, oh.
Am I? Don't judge me. And you just deflect it.
Just showered.
I find that I'm feeling a great deal of compassion for you. And,
thank you.
You know, like, I see, I can.
You're honest. You're vulnerable.
I can feel... like the trauma of like everything that's happened with cancel culture, and I can just empathy, but I can feel your pain, and it makes me it cultivates compassion. You know, mm-hmm. I want everything to be okay for you.
Thank you. That's the nicest thing ever. I mean, sorry that I'm making you feel bad.
No. I mean, it's not like... Yeah, you're not making me feel bad, but it's like, I don't know. Like Scott said, you know, here you've, like the fact of you being nervous,
I mean, I can see the indicators of like picking your fingers. Like you're uncomfortable talking about this shit. Clearly you're blowing out. You're like...
Yeah, but to Scott's point,
but that's real. That's vulnerable.
Yeah, to Scott's point, there's like there, you know.
It's okay if you pick your feet.
I know. No, I'm like, oh fuck.
No, I always notice things like that with people because I'm the same way too. You know.
I remember at one of our sober functions talking to a sober guy, and just expressing to him that felt really just ashamed of what I had become, like what I turned into with drugs and alcohol. And I was like, yeah, like it's probably not good to be so like shameful about it. And this guy said, no, dude, like regret is absolutely healthy and important and the way forward. You know, and I think that when Scott points out that you're nervous about this, that, you know, that like that there's that, like it takes me back to that sober guy telling me how valuable regret is. You know, if you don't like regret things that then you're never going to learn from your mistakes unless you properly regret them.
Yeah. And you don't get humbled. I mean, I think back to like how I was in high school and people like talk about, you know, from like. 16 to fucking 24. Like, I don't like to think back about the person I was because, I mean, I was a fucking asshole.
Anytime Scott starts a story with one time when I was in high school, you know it's going to be the most outrageously entertaining story.
Yeah, I mean, but like, I don't even like to identify with that person anymore.
Yeah.
You know?
But do you consider regret and shame the same thing?
Mm, I,
No. Because I'm shameful of a lot of, most of my past, but I don't regret most of it.
Ooh, other way around. Yeah. You want to constructively regret things, remember mistakes, and regret them constructively so as to not repeat the behavior.
For sure.
But shame, as I understand it, is not constructive. That's like you regret an action. Mm-hmm. You have shame about a person, like shame is more, I'm shameful of who I am, okay. What I am versus separate the action from the person.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah.
And I suppose it follows that, you do something. You
regret
of.
It, but people, I think what addiction comes down to is a shame addiction. You're addicted to feeling the shame because you feel like a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you want to identify with that shame. So you keep doing shameless acts.
Yeah.
Mm. Shameful. Yeah.
Shameful.
I remember talking to somebody about this little inner dialogue, this negotiation about whether or not I'm going to have a dessert after a meal. It's like, I want to have it, but I know that I'm going to be ashamed of it. I know that as soon as I get done eating it, I'm going to regret it. I'm going to feel ashamed about it. And somebody suggested to me that it's actually more than the pleasure of eating the dessert, the actual reward is the shame. That you choose to eat the dessert because you derive some kind of perverse pleasure in the cycle of shame.
Mm. Yeah,
and that you're actually it's an exercise in
totally.
Here's an opportunity I'm going to give myself to beat myself up because there's this perverse.
It's a core belief of what you believe yourself to be. I'm a piece of shit.
Yeah,
and the shame matches up to that value.
Yeah, I think that's what the cutting is motivated by too.
Everything.
I'm a bad person, and I deserve to I deserve for bad things to happen to me, and so here I'm going to cut myself. And that's gonna, I don't know.
What's going on with this RV life?
Turn it on. Is the blue button on?
It's on.
I think if you turn that, then the lights are gonna go out. Yeah.
You feel good about it? You feel good that you've talked about all this?
Oh. I thought you meant about my eating. I was like, well, now I'm realizing the shame part.
But I mean, is there anything that you was it as difficult? I mean, I feel like you faced some shit coming in here and you're on the other side of it. It wasn't so bad.
Yeah. I mean, I'm grateful that I'm comfortable, because I haven't really talked about this stuff in this type of a way. I try to make jokes about it or get out of it, but yeah, I mean, I'm happy to talk about stuff. I think it's hard because in my real life, I've moved past it and I'm happy and things are good and way better than before I got canceled as far as my work-life balance and everything is good. But yeah, it's weird. The second I start talking about it, I almost go right back into that place I was in, which shows that I really am not past it because I can so easily fall right back into that feeling of my life is over.
Well, they say one of the best things about and I'm not preaching 12 step, but I was listening to a guy talk about one of the good things about having that at a group level is that when everybody comes into those rooms, there's shame. And the practice of speaking out publicly, whatever it is that you're and nobody's judging you. Rewires the neurons in your brain to where it becomes easier and easier to talk about because when you talk about it, nobody's saying shit and you're oh, it's not that bad. Mm. And that's one of the benefits of speaking at a group level or even with us, mm-hmm. it's not as bad as you think it is in your head. Cause you're only as sick as your secrets. So.
Yeah, there's a difference between being in a safe environment with
people world.
That you know aren't going to be judging, and then subjecting yourself to mass criticism on platform of millions of people. So, but there's certainly no judgment here.
Thank you. I mean, no, I appreciate it. And I want to get better at, like, talking about stuff. I think, and I've tried to do it on my podcast, but then I always just shut down because I don't know. I don't want to, it's just really complicated. It's hard to talk about cancel stuff, cancel culture, when, like, I'm not delusional. I know why I got canceled. I understand it. I get it. I feel sorry about it. But yeah, it was a lot, and I don't think any person should be put through that, because if I didn't have Ryland, I'd be dead. Like, so I want to at some point talk about it more, because I feel I kind of talk about it in therapy a lot. I'm like, I want to do something for people, because cancel culture isn't just on YouTube. It's everywhere. It's in people. Like, I've had people that I know who have lost jobs because of a patient who said something that wasn't true, and then this and that. It's like, it's happening everywhere. And so many people feel like this. So it's like, yeah, at some point I do want to get better at talking about it, because I am grateful that I am okay after all of that. But it's hard to talk about that, because then people are like, oh, you're trying to, you know, fucking feel bad about or be a victim and this and that. So then I just say, well, fuck it, I'm just not going to talk about it. You know?
Yeah, I think the worst thing that you can do, though, is just to, like, make a joke. Yeah, like, make a joke about it, or, you know, at least, because then that's just, it's a, you know, deflection for sure. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think the more that you're honest and vulnerable about it, it always reminds me of this, the word personality comes from the root word persona, which means to wear a mask. Mm. And I always, like, the people that have the best personalities in the world just makes me think of, like, that they're covering up the most. You know, so if somebody's like, hey, what's, like, they're just too on and they're too charismatic, it's like, that person's really hurt inside.
Right.
So you don't, I think, want to make a joke about anything you've ever done, because it's not funny. And everybody knows it's not funny. So just be real about it. Just be like, fuck, dude, you're pretty honest and vulnerable with us. And that's a lot easier than being like, okay, anyway.
That is so fucking true, because at the beginning, when I started trying to get back into making stuff again, I was really making a lot of jokes about suicide. Like, too much. Borderline, like, why was I doing that? And I try not to do this, but I watched, like, a video of somebody reacting to the video, because it was my first one back in, you know, since I had been canceled. And one of the suicide jokes came up, and the person was just like, And I was like, oh, I just felt so embarrassed. I felt so stupid. Yeah. I was just like, oh, it's like, it put me back in high school when I would be the first one to make the fat joke, so that, like, people wouldn't, you know, I'm like in on the joke. Like, I get it. I have titties, like, whatever. So it put me in that same space where I'm like, oh, so now that's my new thing. I'm trying not to make jokes about how I look, and I'm trying not to make suicide jokes and all these things, because they are real. And I do use humor, but yeah, there is a certain point where it makes people feel like, ooh, this is dark.
Yeah, sure.
It's like,
but everybody does it, so don't beat yourself up for it. I mean, fuck, dude. You know, I probably made 20 mistakes like that today. But it's like, I think being aware of it really makes a difference, to where, like, if you do it, don't beat yourself up. Just like, fuck.
Right.
I did it, and you move on.
Right. Yeah.
That's what I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
And that is like, everybody's depressed in here now, dude.
I know, sorry. I really was trying to, like, I was like, oh, what should I talk about? Oh, I'll try to think of something funny. Like, I'm sorry.
Dude, it's all, I feel like I ruined the vibe. I think, you know, for what it's worth, I think that Scott's points are valid. I think that, you know, to show up and kind of face everything going on and be nervous about it and accountable for it, I think that that's the best you can do. And I think that for what it's worth, that it went really well.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm definitely going to overthink it later and be like, oh, that was, I fucked that up. But thank you.
And here we are once again, my wonderful street team, the beautiful people who stick around to the end of the podcast. You know, there's some stuff I want to say to you. Last week we had the episode with Bam. And, you know, I don't have anything to apologize for. Just want to put that out there. And Shane Dawson, I'm glad we did that too. Don't feel apologetic about that either. And man, I'm still in Australia, and what a trip this has been. There's a video that we made out here that is wildly naughty. I don't even know where we can put it, except, of course, at steveoraw.com, where it is. But, whew, man, it's been a wild trip, man. And I love you guys. Thank you for sticking around.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.